A very warm welcome to Whitley Bay Baptist Church's weekly online service. My name's Helen, I'm a member of the church leadership team here, and I'm so glad you've been able to join with us in our time of worship today. This week we'll continue to look at the Beatitudes, and John Claydon, the regional minister from the Northern Baptist Association, will be bringing us his thoughts about the Beatitude, which says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But first of all, I'd like to start with some words from Isaiah. Pastor Paul Newman shared them with us as he retired last year, and since then they have come to my mind time and again as I pray. In Isaiah 43 it says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smouldering candle wick. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See? I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." I pray God will bless you as you take part in our service today.
You lift us up on wings As we come to a time of prayer, let's spend a few moments praising God for his power and majesty, giving him the glory for all the good things he has done in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who isn't distant and remote, but with us on every step of life's journey. Lord, sometimes that journey is hard, and we experience times of sadness, stress, and illness. We pray particularly for the members of our church family who need your extra grace at this time. We pray for Kate, Sarah, Tom, and Eric, as they look to you for healing. For the BMS Guinebourg team, and also David, Lucy, and little Sophie, who have returned to the UK due to unrest in Chad. For Paul and his family following the loss of his mom. Lord, as lockdown eases, and we look forward to further easing of restrictions, we thank you for the continued rollout of our country's vaccination programme. Please bless everyone in the NHS involved with giving the vaccinations. We praise you for their amazing organisational skills in being able to set up such a massive project. And we thank you for the many volunteers who give up their time each day to help out in the vaccination centres. Bless them, we pray, and keep them safe and in good health. We continue to pray for countries like India, where the number of people with COVID-19 remains frighteningly high. Lord, we have so many doses of vaccinations here in the UK. Please give our leaders the grace and compassion to share those we don't need with countries who are desperate for them. Lord, we look forward to a time in the not too distant future when hopefully we'll be able to return to our church building. We pray for your hand upon all the planning and thought being put into what church will look like when we return. But thank you that we've never stopped being your church, even when we haven't been able to meet together in person. We thank you that some of our church groups are starting to return to the building. We pray for their safety and they'll have a wonderful time as they start to meet together in person once more. We continue to pray for Joel, Vicky and the family as they continue their planning to join us here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church later this year. We praise you again for the way you led us to calling Joel and trust you for the next chapter in our church's life. Lord, you know what each of us faces in the week ahead, and we lift our prayers to you because you always hear us when we call out to you. So let's finish this time of prayer by joining together in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Sim, and I'll be doing the reading, which comes from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Before I do, I'd like to take the opportunity to quickly update you. The last time I appeared in one of these services, I was doing work from home. I can report I'm back at university now, which is a real blessing. And I ask for your continued prayer as I begin this last term before breaking up for the summer. The reading is as follows. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne.
Thank you to Sim for those prayers. And what he didn't mention is that it's looking really hopeful at the moment that he'll get back to America for the third year of his studies in the middle of August. So if everything goes according to plan, we're very much hoping he'll be back where he's meant to be by the autumn. So do keep praying for that. Now, you'll know that I'm not just blessed with one son. Nope. I'm not just blessed with two sons. Nope. I'm blessed with three lovely sons. Reuben is a bit camera shy, but here we have Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Joe is coming to the end of his first year of studies at Tymet College. That's right, isn't it? What are you studying there, Joe?
Level 3 sports.
And he's really enjoying it, so that's great. And we thought that we would bring to you some prayers based around the Beatitudes. So would you like to join us in prayer now?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Lord, we pray for those of us who are poor in spirit. As lockdown is easing, so many of us have come to a point where we cannot yet feel an improvement in our mood. We remain anxious, worried about the future, and feel safest when we're tucked away at home. Lord, give us strength and stamina as we return to a more normal way of life. Take away our feelings of tiredness and apathy. Restore to us our richness of spirit.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Lord, we pray for the many around us who are mourning loved ones who have died over the past year. They might have died of coronavirus or because of another illness or reason. We pray you will be especially close to them. And Lord, we pray for those who mourn other things that they have lost in their lives. A job, a relationship, a whole way of life as they used to know it. Lord, we thank you that in this beatitude you say they will be comforted. And we claim your promise of peace in all these situations.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Lord, we live in a world where meekness is often seen as weakness. We're sorry for the times when our pride takes over and we strive for earthly success, such as wealth, power, and status. Lord, keep reminding us none of these things are important in your eyes and help us to remain meek.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied.
Lord, we pray for the courage and the strength we need to make a stand against unrighteousness, even when we are afraid. Give us a passion for justice, especially for those we know in our own lives who face prejudice and intolerance. We claim your promise that one day justice will roll down like the waters and righteousness like a stream.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Lord, a few minutes ago we joined in the Lord's Prayer and said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You know the people and situations in our lives where we are struggling to forgive. We are a truly blessed people because of your mercy towards us. Help us to be more merciful to the people who live their lives around us.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Lord, it's easy to hear these words and wonder how any of us will ever see you because none of us have a pure heart. We pray that you will search our hearts, however painful that process might be, and take away the impurity, whether that's intolerance, pride, anger, or envy. We pray for your forgiveness for the sin in our life.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Lord, we live in a world that is full of conflict. We think of people living in countries torn apart by war, Afghanistan, Syria, the Yemen. We have no real grasp of what it must be like to spend each day in a country where every day brings bombing, fighting, and the destruction and chaos caused by war. Help us to know how to pray for peace where there is so much conflict. And Lord, we pray we would be peacemakers on our own front lines. Give us the words to say and show us how to behave to bring peace where there is a war of words.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for there is the kingdom of heaven.
Lord, the vast majority of us have no understanding of what it is to be persecuted for our faith. Many of us will have faced antagonism or disdain from others because of what we believe, but we praise you we live in a country where our lives are not at risk because we are your followers. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters around the world who face imprisonment or death because they claim Jesus as their Lord. We pray for Christians in Burma, in Nigeria, in Saudi Arabia, and the many other countries around the world where being a Christian means real persecution.
Lord, we lift these prayers to you now. Thank you for listening to us.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Hello and greetings to you. Wherever you are, I hope you're sat somewhere comfortably. I want to bring you the greetings of the Northern Baptist Association, our family of churches in the north of England. And say how delighted I am and many are to know that you've called a new minister, and we hope and pray that this may be a time of blessing and encouragement for all of you. I've just come through what might be called the age of uncertainty. That age between 60 and 65, when you live with this sense of uncertainty about whether you should ask for concessions when you're going to places, when you go to the theatre or the cinema, or to watch a football match, or to visit a museum. Sometimes you get concessions and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get it at 60, and sometimes they tell you to wait very definitely till you're 65. And so it's an age of uncertainty. And two or three years ago, Janet and I went to a museum and run by a number of volunteers, and I'm sure there were some paid staff as well. And when we got there, we got this lovely question or put back to us when I asked about concessions. And the question was, are you knacked? Are you had it? Are you worn out? Are you knacked? He said. I wasn't sure how to answer that and just looked a bit perplexed at him. And then he said, well, how old are you? I said 62. And he said, you're knacked. Well, this is good news for those who are knacked, those who are done for. And these words of Jesus that we're going to look at from Matthew's Gospel are words for those who are knacked, those who are done for. And so it's good news for us. It's good news, but it's also a call to recognise that we're done for, and to know that there's hope for the kingdom, or hope of the kingdom, for those who are done for. In the words of the Message translation, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and more of his rule. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Or when Jesus said it on another occasion, that time on the plain as opposed to the time on the mountain, when in the plain he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Here is, in this first, what we call beatitude, here's a declaration of blessing for those who are desperate, the done for. Here is a challenge to recognise our own spiritual poverty, that actually we're all done for. And here is the way of the kingdom, the hope for the done for. So the declaration of blessing for those who are desperate, those who are done for. Now, when we read the scriptures, we all read to our own situation, and perhaps we're just trying to make sense of the words that are on the page, but perhaps also we read through the lens of our own experience. But we also need to recognize the experience and the situation, the lens, if you like, of those who heard it or read it for the first time. And that is found, the experience is found in chapter 4. The context is found there. Yes, the immediate context is that Jesus has seen the crowds and he's gone up on the mountain, and his disciples come to him and he gives to them the Sermon on the Mount. But the slightly wider context is found in chapter 4. And when Matthew quotes from the prophecy of Isaiah, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. In other words, these people who have come to Jesus, these disciples of Jesus, have known a certain darkness in their lives. It's the darkness of personal failure, of sin, which begs the question, who will help me live a good life and find acceptance with God? But it's also the darkness of oppression from Rome. They are living in an occupied land. Who will rid us of the tyranny of Rome? It's the darkness for them of a religion without hope. For there was one party of Jews who were called the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection and a God of miraculous power, and who had compromised with Rome. And then the other party, the Pharisees, who brought the darkness of religion without life. They knew what to believe, and they placed heavy demands on people that it sucked life out of them. This was the darkness of those who were lacked, those who were done for. But to them and to us, Jesus speaks life and hope. For we too will know darkness, the darkness of our own personal failings, the darkness and of the demands of our own life circumstances, maybe of health and health concerns, maybe of family worries, maybe work uncertainties, maybe times of depression and despair, and perhaps our own sense of being done for. But here there is hope, and this is what Jesus speaks to us. There is hope for those who are done for. But let's look a little bit closer at the saying. But there are a couple of issues here. And one is the use of the word poor, and the other is the addition or the qualification in the words in spirit, those who are poor in spirit. Now, there would be different words that you can use to describe poor. We have different words or terms in English, and the Greek language in which the Gospels were written had different words as well. And one of the words for poor might simply be hard up. The person might have work, they might have enough food for the day, they might have a home that's safe and clean and warm, but life's a struggle. There's nothing to spare. They're kind of hard up. But then there's another word, and this is the word that's used here, a word that describes, well, you're completely stuffed, basically. You've had it. It's that absolute and abject poverty. And it presents the image of someone who is so poor, so desperate and defeated that they are literally on their knees. And it's to them Jesus declares the blessing of the kingdom. So it's those who are really up against it that Jesus speaks. But he also adds on this occasion the words in spirit. And he spoke on the plain, he said, blessed are the poor. But here he adds the word in spirit. Now, when Jesus says in Luke's gospel, blessed are the poor, there is a recognition of God's concern for those who are struggling, those who are poor, those who are underprivileged. They're often referred to in the Old Testament, and people have read the scriptures and said that God has that sense of bias, concern to help the poor. For they are those who are seen as not just without wealth and power, but those who are oppressed and suffering. Those who are humble and helpless, and who in the end have no one else to turn to, and so they put their hope in God, and find that he is their helper. They need to look to the provision of God. And because the poor in the scriptures looked to the provision of God, it came to mean also that they were pious, and that's how Jewish thinking regarded them. For their only sure refuge was in God. So we read in Psalm 34, verse 6, for instance, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man, this pious man, this man with nothing else to rely on, cried out, and the Lord heard him. But in Matthew's gospel, Jesus adds the word. When he speaks on the Sermon on the Mount, he adds the words in spirit. For it's more than material poverty, when there's uncertainty about provision. It's more than social poverty, where there's no fellowship or friends, really no mates, as it were. More than educational poverty, without schooling or learning. But a spiritual poverty. Not poverty of spirituality. It's not the question of how you pray and how you sing and how you worship, but with respect to their spirit. Of people who are convinced of their spiritual poverty. Of that attitude which is at the heart of the human psyche. That recognises the need of the mercy of God. William Barclay writes of it and says, this is the poverty which is blessed. The poverty which is blessed is the poverty of spirit. When a person realises their own utter lack of resources to meet life and finds their help and strength in God. It's a declaration of blessing to those who are desperate, the done for. But it's also a challenge to recognise our own spiritual poverty. We might feel life is tough from time to time. We may feel trapped by the circumstances of life. But we're also taught, aren't we, by wider society, by education, by schooling, by our workplaces, we're taught to try and to cope. And many in our day are rich in ways that some of our ancestors could not have imagined. We have time-saving devices that were once luxuries, and indeed were once never even thought possible. We have working conditions that are radically different to those that Dickens wrote about, for instance. We have educational standards that our grandparents could not have thought about. We have health and welfare provision that is at the heart of our culture, that at the beginning of the Second World War could not have been expected. And yet there is another poverty that is easily overlooked. And that's not to say that there is poverty of wealth and opportunity. But there is another poverty that's easily overlooked, and that's our spiritual poverty. And here is the challenge to recognise our own spirituality. To hear again, as it were, the words of Jesus when he spoke in John 15, verse 5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." In our society, we're taught self-reliance, but the scriptures call us to recognise our weaknesses and the poverty of our efforts and to rely upon God. In some ways, it's summed up in the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, where the Pharisee is proud of what he's done. But the tax collector, who would have wealth, who would have had opportunity, but he recognises his failure and cries humbly, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." He recognises his spiritual poverty. Or in a letter to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. Laodicea was a place of some importance and wealth. It was a centre of banking, a place where there were fine clothes. It was well known for its fine wool that produced its good clothes. It also had an eye academy stroke hospital that produced its own eye ointment that was a blessing to those who were able to afford it and use it. And yet Jesus says to them, "You say," says Jesus, "you say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." And Jesus picks up the wealth they have, the eye ointment they have access to, and the fine clothes they wear. And so he says to them, "But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see." They need to be challenged. They need to be challenged to recognize their own spiritual poverty. And with all our Western wealth and opportunity of education, health, and all our abilities, we are challenged in the same way. For it's not about our fine clothes or our education or our employment. They are not the ways to God's kingdom, but simple trust. And Paul recognized that with all his pedigree of Jewishness and all his learning. He says, what is more, he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the unsurpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." And so whatever we have in the bank or not, we still need to seek treasure in heaven. Whatever education we have attained, and whatever we have learned, we still need to learn of God's ways. Whatever gives us life and fulfillment and enjoyment, we still need to find acceptance. and security in Christ. Entering the kingdom of God is not achievable by exam results, bank balances, promotion, or whatever. As Charles Spurgeon said, the way to rise in the kingdom is to sink in ourselves. Or as the hymn writer wrote, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Jesus gives a declaration of blessing to those who are desperate, but he also calls us all to recognize our own spiritual poverty and points the way to the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he said. Luke says theirs is the kingdom of God. They're interchangeable phrases, and Matthew, when he writes, deliberately uses the term kingdom of heaven so as to avoid any offence to Jewish readers by the use of the name of God. Theirs is the kingdom and reign and rule of God. Theirs is complete salvation. Theirs is forgiveness, peace, reconciliation, acceptance, hope, both now, whatever the situation, and in eternity, beyond death and when Christ comes in glory. Theirs is the kingdom. John Stott wrote, the kingdom is given to the poor, not the rich, the feeble, not the mighty, to little children, humble enough to accept it, not to the soldiers who boast that they can obtain it by their own prowess. Theirs is the kingdom. From darkness, we move into the hope of the gospel, the light of the gospel. Surrounded by darkness, we find the kingdom of light. In the midst of failure and brokenness, we find the joy of wholeness and reconciliation. In the storms of life, we find the peace of Christ. In death, we find life in the presence of God. For as Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we might well sing in that hymn, great is thy faithfulness, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. And so those who have had it, those who recognise they've had it, who acknowledge and accept their spiritual poverty and come seeking God, upon them, upon you, upon me, is pronounced the word of blessing. A blessing that you can have and I can have as we acknowledge before God our utter reliance upon him, our spiritual poverty, that we need him. Here, in these words of Jesus, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Here is a declaration of blessing for those who are desperate. A challenge for all of us to recognise our own spiritual poverty and turn again to God. And here is the way of the kingdom, the hope for the done for. Here is blessing for all who will call on the name of the Lord. God bless you. Amen.
Many thanks to everyone who's taken part in today's service, especially to David, who's put it all together. As we come to the end of our time, let's share in this blessing together. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your gentleness and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us, by your Spirit, to honour you in our thoughts and words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.